Oh, hey, I'm so glad that you found us. My name's Michael, and I get to be the pastor at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church in Lakeland, Florida. You're listening to the It's Better When You're Here podcast, where every week we upload the messages that are preached at our church every Sunday. We hope by listening to this, you feel safe, heard, and loved by the God that created you. We hope this message makes an impact in your life. If listening to this makes a difference, reach out to us and connect with us either on social media or on our website, shepherdsumc.com. All right, here's the message.
So we're in a series about prayer. We've been reading as a church together, Help, Thanks, Wow, a book by Anne Lamott. It is a great book that some of it I completely agree with. And other parts I'm like, nah, I don't think that's true. This is a great book to read as a filter and not as a sponge. Pro tip, don't read any book like a sponge unless it's the Bible. And even then, you should probably work real hard to understand what's actually being said. This is a great book that talks about prayer in a way that I can understand. There's a few naughty words in here because that's how I pray sometimes too. And I'm so glad that we've been sharing this together. Today, we are on the word thanks. Last week, we talked about the word help and how prayer needs to be something where we are actually turning to God and saying, hey, I need a little bit of help. And then we need to be listening to others that are also asking for help as well. And I can't tell you how many people who have texted me and messaged me and connected with me and said, hey, man, you preached about asking for help, and I've had to ask a lot of people for help. So much so that I asked one of them, should I be preaching about what to do if you win the lottery? Because it seems as if there's a connection, a correlation between what happens in your life and what I preach about. But that's another series. We'll talk about lottery winnings when we talk about tithing. 10%, any way you get it. So this week we're talking about thanks. Our prayer this week is thanks. If you don't hear anything else from me this morning, I hope you hear this. You can write this down in your paper bulletin, or if you go to our website, you go to shepherdsumc.com, you can take digital notes as well. I want you to hear this. May our hearts be marked with gratitude so that our lives be marked with generosity. May our hearts be marked with gratitude so that our lives be marked with generosity. This morning, we're reading a passage from the Psalms, the book of the Psalms. The book of the Psalms, it's a grouping of songs and prayers and poems all pointed upward and into the world. They're a way for the people of Israel to express their adoration of God and the nature of God and who God is. And our passage today is Psalm chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. If you've ever been at a funeral or maybe even a wedding, or if you've gone to church more than 10 times, you've heard this passage before. You probably know it in the King James Version like I do. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. But we've got the Common English Version today. For those of you who haven't been to Shepherd's before, this is your first Sunday with us, we have this fun tradition here where after the reading of the word, I'll say, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. And then all of you will say, thanks be to God. But then we add a little extra zhuzh on the end. We add the word woo! So be ready, okay? Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He lets me rest in grassy meadows. He leads me to restful waters. He keeps me alive. He guides me in proper ways, rather for the sake of his good name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no danger because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me. You set a table for me right in front of my enemies. You bathe my head in oil. My cup is so full it spills over. Yes, goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the Lord's house as long as I live. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Very good. So this passage that we read here today, this is a psalm of praise. This is a psalm that the psalmist is pointing it upward, telling God exactly who God is, and telling anyone that'll listen who God is to him or to her, although it is attributed to King David, it's a boy. Anyways, so this feller is talking about God and who God is and why God matters in his life. But as I did some deeper digging, as I looked into some commentaries, some scholars realized that this also reflects the story of the chosen people of God, the people of Israel. Every aspect of this psalm points to another part of the long story of God. If you begin in Genesis and work your way to the right, you'll find story after story of God showing up in a real and meaningful way that is reflected here in this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He lets me rest in grassy meadows. If you look at the story of the people of Israel, they begin as slaves in the nation of Egypt. They are there. They are not able to rest. They are not in grassy meadows. In fact, they are held in bondage. They can't rest. In fact, there's one story where the Pharaoh wants them to make more bricks, but makes it more difficult for them to make bricks. Their life is misery. But how does God show up for them? As a shepherd, leading them out and in to rest. He leads me to restful waters. He keeps me alive. If you read a little bit further, you see the people of Israel leave Egypt and they pass through waters that are parted on each side, restful waters. As the waters part, the people of Israel are led through the Red Sea. So not only does this story reflect the nature of God according to the psalmist, it also tells a longer story of the people of God striving to know God. In order for us to be grateful, we must choose to remember. We must be able to look backwards and see how God has shown up in our lives. We must choose not only to look backwards and see how God has shown up in our lives, we must choose to believe that it was God showing up in our lives and not just a luck of the draw. We must choose to see how God has shown up in our lives, or we've seen how things have gone well and choose to attribute those things to God in order for us to be grateful. We have to be willing to tell the story of our lives as a story of God's goodness, just like this psalm does. Today, may our hearts be marked with gratitude so that our lives can be marked with generosity. All right, so this is called the Good Shepherd Prayer. This is nothing to do with the passage. I do love our name, Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church. It has taught me that no one knows how to spell the word shepherd. A lot of S-H-P-P-A-R-Ds out there. I sent you an email. No, you sent pastor at shepherds.umc.com. You know, it's close, but it's not there. Truly, that has nothing to do with the sermon today. It's just, this is group therapy for me for just a moment, okay? But the image of a shepherd is common in Scripture. It's normal. You saw shepherds during Jesus' time in Palestine all over the place. Shepherds were a common form of making ends meet. It was a normal job to have. A shepherd could take a group of sheep and lead them through open fields and turn that into a livelihood for their family for generations. This also works as a metaphor because a shepherd does not control what happens to a sheep. When you look at what a sheep is, you learn a few things. Number one, they make wool. Number two, they taste great. And number three, they are very deeply dumb. They don't have a survival mechanism. They don't run and scatter with any importance or thought in their minds. There's nothing but a smooth bit of gray matter between those ears. They are not the most intelligent creatures. They require a shepherd to protect them. And yes, did I just call you a bunch of sheep? A little bit, but it was Jesus, not me, okay? I'm sorry. Well, what's great about that, too, is that a shepherd protects the sheep, but the shepherd does not control what happens to the sheep. The thing about sheep is that they will do what they want. You cannot control them. And furthermore, the world around them is a dangerous place to be a sheep. Imagine if you were just four legs in a sandwich, you know, running around in the eyes of any creature that could run faster than a sheep, which is pretty slow. They could just get that wool wrapper off, they've got a meal, right? It is dangerous to be a sheep. And a shepherd doesn't control the world around them, but instead suffers alongside them. A shepherd protects his sheep and suffers with them. So often the world wants to tell you that everything that happens to you is because God did it. Everything happens for a reason is a very popular belief that a lot of people find meaning and purpose in. And I want to tell you today, if you believe that and that makes a difference in your life, good. And I want to tell you that the image of God that I see in this space is something so much more than just that. We serve a God, friends, that doesn't make the terrible things that happen in your life happen so you can learn a lesson. No shepherd would kick one sheep out in front of a wolf so that everyone else could learn, right? You know, it's not like he wanted to provide an object lesson. See, this is why you should share. Harold didn't, and now he's being eaten by a wolf. Do you want to be eaten by a wolf? That's not what God would do to us either. Instead, if a wolf comes, and we'll read more about this later, a shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. When it rains on the sheep, it rains on the shepherd. When it's cold for the sheep, it's cold for the shepherd. When there's not enough grass, the shepherd starts walking. When things are tough in our lives, the shepherd is there next to us, suffering with us. A shepherd protects his sheep and suffers with them. We serve a God. Doesn't make and orchestrate the world around us to give us opportunities to learn lessons. So much more. Our shepherd is there with us. May our hearts be marked with gratitude so that our lives be marked with generosity. All the good stuff that we have comes from God. Scripture tells us that. All good things come from God. And we know that our lives are filled with vibrancy and color and hope and love because of God's great love for us. But as our author, Anne Lamott, says, life is harder than we think it ought to be. Anyone else believe that? Life is harder than we think it ought to be. Can I be honest? Can I share something a little bit about myself? This week, my jaw has been hurting. I've been clenching my teeth all week. I don't know if you've seen anything about anything in this last week. It's like a stressful time to be alive on this planet, this pale blue dot. There have been things that have been eating at me that I don't need to have eat at me. I want to tell you, the scripture tells us, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. And I've been skipping that part of the Bible. And I've been worrying about tomorrow. I read an Instagram post today that said, relax your shoulders. And I realized, oh, I've been wearing my shoulders like earrings. And too often the church is saying things like, I am too blessed to be stressed. Friends, I am just blessed enough to be extremely stressed out. Like, that's how much blessedness I have. I don't know if like I just get over this next hump and all of a sudden stress falls away, but I don't think that's the way it was. You look at scripture, when Christ himself was stressed. Christ was so stressed, this is kind of gross. He was praying one time and he sweat, blood. Ugh! I've not been that stressed out. My jaw hurts, but I'm not sweating blood, y'all. And that's how stressed out Christ was. You know, I think the church, we so desperately want things to be okay, but instead, maybe we can just be honest and say things are not okay yet. Or another way of putting it, gratitude is not pretending things are okay or things are perfect. Gratitude is knowing things are being perfected. Gratitude is not pretending things are perfect. Gratitude is knowing things are being perfected. We as Methodists, we have this thing that we talk about called prevenient grace. Everyone say prevenient grace. Yeah, that's as much confidence as I thought I would get, because prevenient's not a word. Like, you've never heard the word prevenient before. You've heard grace. It's the thing you say before dinner. But prevenient grace is, another way of putting it is preventing grace, or the grace that goes before. It's this idea that all of creation, everything that we see, Christian, not, trees, bushes, plants, oceans, McGriddles, all of them are covered by this light dusting of something called prevenient grace. It's this grace that colors everything just a little bit more towards God. It gives us the ability as human beings to know that we need God and to look upward and find God. It's the ability of all of creation to be just a little bit closer to what God has called us to every single day. It's one of the reasons why in just a little bit when we have communion, everyone will be welcome to the table, because we believe that this dusting of prevenient grace has reached every single one of us. So what I don't want you to hear, please don't hear that your pastor wants you to smile through pain. That's not gratitude. That's something you should talk to your therapist about. That is not what God has called us to. God has called us to something so much more. The Lord is my shepherd, and when things are bad, I am not alone. The Lord is my shepherd. When things are bad, I am not alone. Things are not perfect, but friends, things are being perfected. When I experience loss, when I experience pain, I know that this is temporary, and I know that eventually on the long arc of the story of God, all pain will cease. May our hearts be marked with gratitude so that our lives be marked with generosity. Excuse me. See, I'm not even going to cough soon. You know, like, that's what I believe. Gratitude begins in our hearts and dovetails into our behavior. So why are we talking about gratitude and generosity at the same time? Well, I know that as gratitude grows within our hearts and our lives, our generosity will grow as well. But sometimes we as the church, we get it a little bit backwards. We dovetail gratitude into bad times. And so we don't allow ourselves to just like mourn when things are bad. We don't allow ourselves to be sad. We don't allow ourselves to be human, friends. We don't allow ourselves to be upset that, you know, the job ended, that the marriage is on the rocks, that the kid isn't listening, that the wages aren't keeping up with inflation, that the world is not how we thought it would be, the retirement doesn't feel like we thought it would, am I stepping on any toes yet? You know, that things the way that we thought they would be aren't the way that we hoped that they would be, and we just pretend that it's fine and that we're grateful, but that's not what God is calling us to. Not to shoehorn our gratitude into lives that don't fit that gratitude, but instead, maybe we can instead have gratitude that we are not forced to do life alone. John chapter 10, verse 11 says this. This is Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. When the hired hand sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. That's because he isn't the shepherd. The sheep aren't really his, so the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. He's only a hired hand. And the sheep don't matter to him. But I, this is Jesus speaking again, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I give up my life for the sheep. This is where our gratitude comes from. It's not that everything is perfect, but rather that the God of the universe knows what it's like to be a sheep like all of us. The late Pope Francis said that good priests should smell like their sheep, that good shepherds smell like sheep. You ever smelled a sheep before? It's not great. You've never seen a cologne that says eau de sheep, eau de mouton. I do know the French word for sheep, huh? It's not. You're not going to find it because it's terrible. And yet the God of the universe every day sprays eau de humanity upon God's self and lives among us. We don't serve a God that's a million miles away in the sky working marionette strings, but is rather in the muck with us. And when we feel utterly alone, like we don't know what's going on, we know that God is with us. May today we be marked with gratitude for that, so that our lives could be marked with generosity. So why are we saying thanks? Why are we talking about this? Well, it was the next one in the book. But also because, like rain comes from clouds, generosity comes from gratitude. I think that we as a church, as shepherds, the reason why we are such a generous church is because we have so much to be grateful for. We have so much to be grateful for as a church. 4 years ago, I'm looking at a lot of you, and a lot of you weren't here. We were trying our best. The air conditioner didn't always work. My third Sunday, I preached in shorts because the AC went all the way out, which will never happen again. Amen and hallelujah. And we keep seeing new people come, experiencing new life. And not only that, but we have started a second campus, and we have things to be grateful for. Tonight, we're going to have over 80 kids come and learn about Jesus at our chapel campus. It's going to be really hectic, really loud. They're going to leave a mess. And we have so much to be grateful for. Oh, man, why wouldn't we be generous because of that? And I'm not just talking about financial generosity, although that's a thing as well. Because when you're really grateful, you'll be generous with everything. When I was a kid, when I was 10 years old, I moved from Boston to Lake Wales, and I was real pudgy, not a lot of fun, and had a weird Boston accent. I did not have a lot of friends, okay? Yesterday, a friend called me, and the first thing I noticed about the phone call was the audacity. Who would call me on the telephone. Don't they know how busy I am? I was scrolling Instagram. But yet I have to pause my important work, doom scrolling, to answer this phone call. And no one was dead on the other line. Like, it was not to tell me, oh, by the way, your house is on fire. That's what I feel like is an appropriate phone call. Very millennial coded, I know. But instead what it was a friend checking in, because we haven't talked in a while. And we told stories, we laughed a little bit. And I was very grateful that a friend called me to say hi, to let me know that he was there, to let me know that I was not alone. I felt gratitude for that. And because of that gratitude, I was able to be generous with the friend. When I was able to get out of my mind thinking that, you know, I was much too important for a phone call, I was able to instead realize how lucky I am to get a phone call from a friend. That one day he'll stop calling, he'll move on, find better friends, honestly, probably one that isn't frustrated that he called them on the phone. And in that moment, I could be grateful, and because of that, I could feel some generosity. I think the world is desperate for a generous church. And I'm not talking just financially, I'm talking about time, heart, love, creativity. I think we lack generosity with our dreams. We make our dreams human-sized, and instead God wants us to be generous and make our dreams God-sized. I think the world is desperate. I think the world is in desperate need of people who are spiritually, chronologically, emotionally, and yes, financially generous. I think that's what the world needs. If we as a church could be that generous, we would see the world change around us. May our hearts be marked with gratitude so that our lives can be marked with generosity. So let us be generous sheep. You know, when we pray thanks, we can show that prayer through actions. We get to show how grateful we are through our actions. When we recognize little graces, we reflect those little graces in the world around us. Why am I preaching about generosity? Well, it's not just because God has called us to be generous and to be grateful. It's because I want to live in a world where people are more generous with their dreams, with their hopes, with their words, with their smiles, with their kindness, with their love. If we could be more generous, that world would be a lot safer for you and for me and for my children and my children's children. We will see peace because peace comes from generosity. If we think that we're being attacked, we're going to build bigger and bigger walls and protections and close ourselves off and shorter tables that we invite people to. But if we're more and more generous, more and more invitations will go out to the table to share in what God has for us. We'll welcome more people into our lives. We'll create a world that everyone would want to be a part of. That's why today I hope that our hearts will be marked with gratitude so that our lives will be marked with generosity. So I have two action points for you today, two things that I want you to do this week to put this sermon into action. I don't want you to just hear a fun story and not do anything about it. I want you to be marked by it. First, I want you to say thanks at least once a day. At least once a day, I want you to say thank you to God, not just to other human beings. I want you to experience something in your life that causes you to look heavenward and mumble thanks. There are no gold stars in heaven, but bonus points if it's for something that's hard to be grateful for. Someone's late to a meeting with you. Well, congratulations, you now have 5 minutes to sit and pray. Someone cuts you off in traffic, you get to enjoy time by yourself in the car for just a little bit longer. You get an opportunity to regulate your heart rate, you know, those things. Find a way to be grateful for something that's hard to be grateful for. And the second thing is, I want you to spread thanks through generosity. Act generously at some point this week. It's not just, you know, paying for someone's Starbucks order. Instead, may it be a generous smile when you could instead scowl. May it be a generous phone call, just maybe not to me. Share a word with someone that needs something. Let someone know that they are not alone on this planet. 8 billion people on the planet, there's no reason for any of us to feel alone. Let's be a generous church this week. And may our hearts be marked with gratitude so that our lives be marked with generosity. Let's pray together.
All right, friends, I hope you heard something in today's message that made an impact in your life, helped you know that you're loved by God, and inspired you to do something about the gospel that is offered to you. Now receive this blessing as you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.